Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight on WWCR Around the World with the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard. Got a great message for you. We're going to go into part 5 of our series on 20 and 12. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in the book of Revelations, chapter 8, verse 1. Now, we have been in a festival here in Murphy, North Carolina, and right at the feast site, we're live at the Convention Center in Murphy, North Carolina, and we're going to talk to you about the episode of 20 and 12. In the first verse of Revelation chapter 8, where we'll lift our text, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now, have you ever thought about silence is deafening and speaks louder than any words. Well, think about heaven going silent. No activity, nothing going on. There's something imminent, a time of trouble coming up on this earth, a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. Now, what do you mean, Pastor Buddy, by a time of trouble? In the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 30 and verse 7, it says that Jacob will go through. Now, when we talk about Jacob, we're talking about the 12 sons that are sent here to subdue the earth and to conquer it and to rule and to reign. Before we do that, ladies and gentlemen, there must be what is known as a spiritual war. We go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and we find that the two seeds right out of the Garden of Eden, and that'll be the seed of Cain from the serpent, and the seed of Adam, if you will, Abel, that those two seeds will have a continuous war, and it will culminate down in the book of Revelations, and from Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end, a book of remembrance was written. Now, in the King James, we have 66 books, which is 44 chapters there in the episode, and we are experiencing in the last days a time of the beginning of the end. Now, we've told you that in 5 years, we're on the countdown to a time in astronomical and also the system of astrological, that there is a crossing, which we call the part of the crossing of the X, meaning that our system will end in the 20 and 12. Now, we have told you the reason why. Now, that doesn't mean the end of the world, per se. That means the beginning of a new age. In this age of enlightenment, we're leaving the Piscean age in the star system, and we're entering into what is called the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Well, what about the silence of a space of a half an hour, Pastor Buddy? And I saw the seven angels which stand before God, and to them were given the seven trumpets. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the beginning of the age of the seven trumpets. This age is the beginning of all of the things that have been promised to come up on the earth, and there must be a time of complete silence in heaven before that we begin the final phase of the new age. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at that point, and the angel that came and stood before the altar. Well, it's wonderful that there's an altar in heaven. And it's nothing like the bell box altars that are identified with Christian religious worship centers around the world. They don't have those in heaven. This altar had 12 gates into the worship center of the place called heaven. And on these 12 gates were openings with the name of the 12 tribes of the house of Israel. This is the altar that was designed in the very beginning by the seed of Abel, who were star children to come down to begin the episode of the adventure of Adam upon the earth. Now, we know that Abel was killed by Cain. And so then the war started, and the Bible says in John 8:44 that Satan and his seed were murderers from the very beginning. Now, we have a substitute. We have Adam chosen, and his seed was kept under a close watch as the genetics were guarded zealously until the substitute, another seed, was born into the world. Now, the Bible talks about, in the book of Luke, chapter 1, of the birth. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, it fulfills a prophecy where it says of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, unto us we have a son coming into the world, another son, a replacement, promised to Adam that this son would come and that he would redeem the children of Adam and the offspring, that they could be partakers of the holy calling. Now, before this, we have the battle of Armageddon. And in the end, ladies and gentlemen, this battle is beginning to sound. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. Ladies and gentlemen, under the preparation, there is a stillness that will come before the storm. Have you ever felt like something is going on this earth? The Bible talked about the end time scenarios right before this time of silence, and it says that there would be great perplexity among the nations. Earthquakes, famines, pestilence, the waves of the sea roaring, and this is because the earth is going through a dramatic change. Weather patterns are changing. Animals are even acting strange as we notice the nature of nature itself and the animals who are very sensitive to something, and we talk about the shift that is coming. They feel like there is something coming down the pike. What is it, Pastor Buddy? It is a time of great shaking. This shaking will shake off everything that is not like Yahweh. If you're not in tune with the dimensional frequency, we're going to talk about that in length tonight as we finish our series, part 5 of 20 and 12. If you'd like to have the whole series, you just ask for the series and we'd be glad to give it to you. Now, we'll give you the address of how you can obtain the series of 20 and 12. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail, fire, mingled with blood. One of the first signs of the seven angels blowing their trumpets was hail and fire mingled with blood. Now, hail is a disturbance of the weather patterns. Mingled with fire is causing the internal of the earth, the very interior of the earth, to begin to heat up. We told you about the frictional change of the hum of the earth itself has moved from 7.8 on the cycles up to 11. Something is happening to our wonderful planet. Now, she must endure to all generation. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that those who fear the end of the world are only fearing the end of a system that was designed and brought to you courtesy of Satan? The world hates the coming of the King. The Bible says that Satan and his angels will literally try to prevent. Now, we have the governments of the earth. They are spraying in the heavens. They're trying to cool down the heating up of the planet. We know that we're going through it. And they're making feeble attempts to control nature or the times of the trumpets that have prepared themselves to sound. Did you know that the Bible says that the devil knows that he has but a short time? Now, with the fire mingled with blood, blood is an indicator that races will begin to be terribly upset. Perplexity, wars, and rumors of wars. I have told you that Satan plans a bloodbath upon the earth. Now, if the fire that Satan plans and the kindling of the fire is already fired, then Yahweh and his angels will have a very easy time of bringing the fire to the point where the earth will heat up, to the point that men will literally blaspheme the name of Yahweh because of the great fire. Now, we're going over to the 16th chapter of the book of Revelations as we continue to look at the reasons why, as the angels here now, we're following the ways of Yahweh, and they're going to pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Now, why would God be angry with a beautiful, loving planet that He created to be inhabited? It is because of man's misusage. It is because that the people upon the earth have become evil as they was in the days of Noah. Listen, and the first angel poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon those that worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as blood, the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Ladies and gentlemen, what is this adventure that is going to be so great that the Bible would predict that the seas would literally become blood? Why is it mentioned in the Bible? Do you think that it's allegorical? Or it's just something that Yahweh is trying to scare you into worshiping Him? Ladies and gentlemen, we know that's not true. And we know that the waters of the earth will shake out of their bed at the shaking of the time of trouble such as never was and never will be. And the Bible says the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the mixing of the races. This is the miscegenation that will get to the point that it will be a time of trouble as it was in the days of Noah. Now, what were they doing in the days of Noah that was so dramatic that Yahweh intervened with these angels as He is now going to intervene upon the earth with the angels that blow the trumpets and have the seven vials of wrath to pour out upon the earth? Well, let's listen. And I heard the angel of the waters say, "Thou art righteous, O Yahweh, which art and was and shall be, because you have judged thus." And they, the wicked, have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. One of the greatest mystifications in our very existence of time is that there is blood cults of vampirish reptilian nature that are now filling the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, there is so much wickedness. You might get up and drive through the little country towns or along the highways, and everything looked normal and very convenient and nothing out of place. But did you know that the secret cults of the earth who have gathered in secret places to drink the blood of the saints of the earth? And I heard another out of the altar say, verse 7, "Even so, Yahweh, Almighty, true and righteous, your judgments are for a purpose." And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Now, this is the fourth angel. Ladies and gentlemen, we know that our earth is going through a cycle. Right before the storm, as there was silence in heaven, there's going to be a lull, if you will, of solar activity right before the greatest flares that we have ever seen explode upon the sun. And the Bible is indicating that it will be a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. It'll be a trouble for man. It'll be trouble for the scientific community. And the Bible says that men, verse 9, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of Yahweh that had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Have you ever seen a time when man is so exalted, when man trusts in the weapons that he's designed? Why do we have so many destructive weapons, nuclear bombs, neutron bombs, bombs that haven't even been revealed to man, destructive elements of the powers, the atomic and the nuclear powers that man has invented? Is it because that he hates and despises other nations? Would Russia despise America? Would America despise Russia or China? Or would Iran despise Israel and Israel despise Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, or the nations that we now have trouble spots around the world? Or is it someone that is identified as the spirits of devils? In the 14th verse, as we jump over there to the 14th verse, and the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, here is a warning. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, when you see these things come to pass, earthquakes, famines, wars, and rumors of wars, the Bible tells us that we must prepare. Now, we are here in the festival of tabernacles. We are gathered in preparation to watch for its coming. Blessed are ye when you cease running and eating and drinking with the drunken, and you come back to the old path. The Bible said to see and ask for the old path. And when you find it, to walk in, and you would find rest for your soul. Ladies and gentlemen, in this hustle and the bustle, men running to and fro, seeking the rest that will not come, and the anxiety, the stress among the nation, the threatening nature of man himself. No man can trust any man. And nations are arming themselves for war. There are threatening statements made daily by heads of states that they are going to attack, or they're going to disrupt, or they're going to destroy other nations. And the Bible says in Matthew that it will be in the last days when we will have this disruptive flow of the beast and the spirits of miracles that are going out to gather the nations together. As it says, blessed are they that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and see ashamed. How do you prepare or put on the garments of salvation? You arm yourself with obedience to the command. You love him. You sacrifice. You work. You pray. You fast. You gather with the righteous. You come out of the world. You come out of the things that the devil has prepared for the times of trouble. We're going to Ezekiel now as we go and show you that there is coming a time of trouble, as we read in Ezekiel chapter 38, and we're going to go to verse 8. After many days, thou shalt be visited. Who's going to visit us, ladies and gentlemen? Are there angelic forces now of vast proportions being gathered around the planet Earth? Are we alone? I don't think so. Will you see signs in the heavens? Will they be signs in the moon? Will they be signs in the stars? Of course there will. When will it happen, Pastor Buddy? Verse 8 is very descriptive. very graphic, that it will happen in the latter years. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have always been waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them, and they shall ascend and come like a storm. And thou shalt be a cloud to cover the land, and all the bands and many people with thee. Now, ladies and gentlemen, think about this. For thus saith Yahweh, it shall also come to pass that at that time these things shall come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. What is the evil thought, ladies and gentlemen? It is Satan's design, and the mind that he has is that he knows he has but a short time, and in the lull, when they say peace and safety, then cometh the sudden destruction. Destruction for who? Well, we're going to jump over to the 16th verse. Thou shalt come up against my people Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, don't look at the geographical spot that's located and called Israel, because Israel is scattered. The 12 tribes are scattered throughout the earth. There will be a definite attempt in all nations, wherever Israel is found. And who are Israelites? They are the racial covenant people of Jacob Israel, who have the ability to discern the times. And Israel knows, the Israelites know, that we are in the last days. You shall come up against my people as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. In the latter days I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me when I am sanctified in thee, O Gog, a descriptive form of the government of the great people that will come to make war against the saints. Who are these people that would dare to make war against the saints? Let's go to the book of Jeremiah, and we'll look at the prophecy of Jeremiah as we look at the verse of Scripture that we just quoted. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now in the last days. Verse 7 of Jeremiah chapter 30. Alas, for that day is great, and there will not be none like it. What is it? It is the age of the shift. When we are at the most opportune time in this planet's existence to bring in the destructive powers of Mother Nature as she shakes and redeems and cleanses the earth, and it will be a time that there's none like it, even that time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Now, how in all this destructive matter could a people that Yahweh has created for his own glory, and of Israel, he chose his people as the fewest people upon the earth. In verse 17, I will restore health unto you. I will heal you because of your wounds. Now, who has wounded the house of Israel or the seed of Jacob? Satan has put a wound upon the heel of Jacob. But when Yahweh restores health to the body of the house of Jacob Israel, their minds will begin to awaken. This is a cosmic dimensional shift of understanding that will be unprecedented for the awakening of a people that has long slept. If you notice that I have been talking about a particular prophecy in the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 25. If you will, permit me to go back then just for a moment into the book of Romans. let's look again at that very prophetic scripture that was penned by the prophet Paul. For I would not, verse 25 now of Romans chapter 11, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so, all Israel, remember I just read you the scripture where it said that there shall be a healing. Ladies and gentlemen, the healing is the spiritual sleep that has been imposed upon Israel in part. Yahweh has always had a remnant of people that know what is going on. Yahweh has always had a people that has been before Him. As long as there is a sun and a moon, the Bible says that Yahweh will have a people, Israel, before Him. Now let's look at the reasons why that Yahweh has given the enemy conceit. Satan is proud. Satan is evil. And Satan has convinced the world to go in the way of Genesis chapter 6. What were they doing in Genesis chapter 6? They were marrying and giving in marriage and miscegenating the seeds of the earth to mingle their blood. So then, that they could destroy the original root races in the earth. The black race is in dire danger of being mixed and mingled out of original conditions of the purpose and intentions of Yahweh. Did you know that God spared not the natural branches? Take heed, lest He also spare not thee. So then, if Yahweh barely saves those who have kept themselves pure, and the Bible says you're saved in the book of Job as by the skin of your teeth, and except Yahweh had given us mercy, there would be no flesh saved. And that means that if Yahweh doesn't intervene, as it was in the last days of Genesis chapter 6. In those days, they had almost miscegenated the blood of Adam. Noah was the 10th generation. And by that time, ladies and gentlemen, Satan had convinced the earth to mingle their blood together. Now, you say, Pastor Buddy, we're not concerned about that because the Bible says that we're all one blood in the book of Acts chapter 17. Well, let's look at that in Acts 17 in the King James Bible where it mentions that the mingling of the bloods, meaning that Yahweh had made us all one blood. Let's actually take a look at that scripture. It'd be a good time for us to go there and examine that scripture. It's in Acts 17, verse 26. And He hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell upon the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and hath set the bounds of their habitation. Do you know at one time that the black race was specifically geographically located in one area of the earth? In other words, the bounds of the black race had been set. Did you know at one time the bounds of the yellow race had been set? And at one time, the bounds of the Caucasian race had been set. This word blood, ladies and gentlemen, if you will check the most ancient manuscripts, the word one blood has been added to the original text. So then, the scriptures does not say that mankind is one blood. Therefore, if kind is after kind, and in the Garden of Eden, it says that there were four rivers that came out of the Garden of Eden. These rivers were genetic streams of Yahweh's ability to create and set bounds and appointed places for the races to dwell in. Now we know that when Cain was expelled from Adam's presence, when Yahweh drove him out, the Bible said that he turned east. If the Mesopotamian Valley was in the country now that is known as Iraq, and he went east, he would go into China through the Himalaya Mountains into Tibet and into China. The Bible says that Cain was of an Oriental race. That's Strong's number 7013. And so the Cainites went to the east where the Oriental race of the bounds of their habitation was set. Now we have that race appointed and the bounds have been predetermined and set. The times before appointed that the word one blood adding to the text now brings us back to keep yourself pure and unspotted from the world. Why is it, Pastor Buddy, that races should observe the blood of their ancestors? To keep themselves pure and in the way that Yahweh has designed man to be. He refused to let the races mix according to his commandments. Let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy, where we're going to give you some scriptures that predetermines Yahweh's commands. In the book of Deuteronomy, we're going to read where it is talking about the commands of separation. Should we, ladies and gentlemen, have moral sexual practices? If you go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, listen what Yahweh says. Verse 4, ye shall do my judgments. Ye shall keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgment, which if a man do, he shall live in them. And if he does this, he shall be approved of Yahweh. Now, none of you shall approach to any that is near to kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am Yahweh. The nakedness of your father or the nakedness of your mother, thou shalt not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Now, brings up an interesting situation when Noah had drank of the wine and lay drunk in his tent, and when Ham came in and saw the nakedness of his mother. Here it is, it's determined that he uncovered her nakedness, meaning that he had sexual relations with his mother. You say, Pastor Buddy, that is gross, and I don't believe that really happened, and therefore, that's not correct. Well, let me give you a little bit of information here. The Bible says that Ham was cursed, and the curse came upon the third generation, and we know that it was upon Canaan. What was the curse? It was for forbidden sexual practices of incest. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father, which is thy mother. Sexual perversion. Listen to this. Verse 23. Neither shall thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therein. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereunto. It is the confusion. Now, isn't that very strange that a woman should not lie with a beast? Sexual practices forbidden by the Scriptures, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to go just a little bit further as we go into the book of Jonah. In the book of Jonah, chapter 3, we're going to start at verse 5, and we're going to read a certain portion of scriptures in the book of Jonah that determines a set of principles that we should abide by, and that is that Satan and his angels are always trying to pervert the moral standards of Yahweh. They're trying to get around the things that Yahweh had commanded them to do in the book of Jonah. Now, we find here that there were Israelites in the city of Nineveh. They were down there in captivity. And the Bible says Jonah was sent down to preach to them, and when he came down, he commanded the people to repent. And the Bible says that the people were obedient. Now, if they were obedient and they commanded them to repent, what were they doing to have to repent? The Bible says that basically that they repented of their sins, and for this cause, Yahweh forgave them. There were certain aspects in the book of Jonah that gave them the indication, or us the indication, of what they done. The Bible says that both man and beast and cattle and creeping things were commanded not to eat. Now, ladies and gentlemen, man refused to eat the time that the gospel of Jonah was preached. They quit feeding their cattle and their horses and their sheep and their donkeys. They also quit feeding themselves. Man quit eating, and so did the beast of the field. But ladies and gentlemen, notice it was only man and the beast of the field that put on sackcloth and ashes. And the Bible says that both man and beast raised his hands and called on the name of Yahweh and repented of their sins. So then, the Bible would identify the beast of the field and command us in the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, to not mix with the beast of the field. Talked about the woman not to mix with the beast or to lie with her, and to mix her seed, because the Bible said that it would bring confusion. Now, why then should we obey, and why should we read the scriptures in this light? Because Yahweh is the key, and by studying His scriptures, we find how to escape the wrath that came upon the people of Genesis chapter 6. Now, what was that sin that they committed in Genesis chapter 6? Well, they were mixing their blood, plain and simple. Blood is genetics. Genetics should be used kind after kind. And so then, they mixed and mingled their blood. Then the angels of heaven, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to predict to you that we're in the time that angels from the heavens are going to appear once again in the heavens, and they're going to start mixing and mingling again with mankind. We're going to have a time of trouble, as it was in the days of Noah. They did marry and give in marriage until Noah entered the ark and the door was shut, and we had the problems that came down in Genesis chapter 6. Are the conditions prevailing today to bring these fallen angels back to the planet to pick up just exactly where they left off? And I believe that that is true, that the time of trouble of Genesis chapter 6, and Christ, remember, He said it in Matthew chapter 24. We're going there just in a moment to give you the end of the prophecy of 20 and 12. The Bible says in that day that Israel will play the harlot, that she will join herself once more to the other races of the earth and shall mix and mingle her seed, trying to destroy the root races that Yahweh said was good. Do you know that Satan is trying to get the same situation for the time of the end that Christ alluded to in the book of Matthew chapter 24? Let's read a scripture too in Matthew chapter 24. Notice here as we read, and the Messiah answered them in verse 4 and said unto them when they asked to see the sign of the coming, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, for verse 5, for many shall come in my name. That is a misprint. If you will take the word in your Greek and turn to your Greek interlinear and look at the Strong's number 1909, you'll see that they have changed it to in my name from the original text of the Greek, which says against my name. Many shall come against my name and deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. I predicted last Sunday night that we are in perilous times. When man is telling you that he's going to guard you and keep you safe, you will see a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. You shall see times of trouble, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. I told you that during these next few years, you'll see a time of trouble. You'll see a war come upon earth, for nation shall rise against nation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's already written in the signs. Albert Pike, an Illuminati member of the elite occult of the 1880s, wrote that there would be a final and decisive Third World War necessary to bring in the new world order, and that all flesh would be held accountable and put under a rod and a rule of iron, that they would deceive the very elect, if possible, the messengers, the news media, and those who would have advantage for another war. And these wars are designed especially to remove the seed of Adam from the earth. For nation shall rise against nation. Ladies and gentlemen, if you will look at that word against right there in your Strong's, all you have to do is get your Strong's interlinear. Look up the word there against. It is Strong's number 1909, where they've taken out against up here in verse 5 and put end. It's the same word as against in verse 7, as is opposed to end in verse 5. So then, many shall come against my name. We now know that the name of Jesus is a false name. We know that it's not the name of the Creator. The name of the Creator was Yahweh in the beginning. It's Yahweh in the end. But they brought in a false name to deceive the very elect, if possible. And so when people come in the name of Yahweh, they'll see that you're called by the name of Yahweh. Deuteronomy 28:10 in the original Hebrew says, they shall see that you're called by the name of Yahweh, not the name of Jesus. Again, Deuteronomy 28:10. They shall see that you're called by the name of Yahweh. In the Hebrew text, it doesn't say Jesus. Now, if Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that He would come into the New Testament era and preach in John 5:43, I am come in my Father's name. The Father's name was not Jesus, but the Greeks gave Him a Greek-Latin name of Jesus. And the world accepted it because they were ignorant and unlearned, and by the time that the church issued a written text for people to read, they had already been deceived by the lying pen of the scribes. the lying pen of the scribes must be guarded against, and you must watch for your soul. And the Bible said, search the scriptures, as in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, the Bereans checked the old text. Ladies and gentlemen, let me give in a sound and figure. In the Old Testament alone, there is given the word Lord in the English text, L-O-R-D, capital letters. There is given the word Lord 5,823 times. Now, by going to a simple Strong's dictionary and looking up 3068 in your Strong's in the Hebrew, you will see that they have changed the name of YHWH Yahweh into L-O-R-D. And if you go to a Holman's Bible Dictionary and look up the text for Lord, it doesn't refer you to Jesus. It doesn't refer you to Yahweh. It refers you to Baal. If you will go to the book of the Greek Strong's Concordance and look up Strong's number 2424, you'll see that it reminds you that the pronunciation of Jesus is pronounced E-A Zeus. Was it possible for them to pull the great switch and reject the great name of Yahweh? Take heed that no man deceive you, for they shall come against my name. According to Matthew chapter 24, verse 5. Use your Strong's, use your Greek interlinear to replace Strong's number 1909 and reinsert it in the text of verse 5. Many shall come not in his name, but many shall come against my name. When you come preaching in the name of Yahweh, you'll see that Satan will become angry. As long as you use a false name, as long as you use a name that's not even 500 years old, ladies and gentlemen, Satan is agreement. The devil and his angels that deceive the whole earth and cause you to wander after a beast that brought in a name of blasphemy. And this name is the name that is used exclusively in the New Testament to deceive the very elect. Well, Pastor Bunny, what should we do? Well, you should do like some of the brothers and sisters have done in this Festival of Tabernacles in Murphy, North Carolina. You should repent. And you should be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sin to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they shall deliver you up, verse 9. After nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, there shall be famine. Now remember the Bible in the book of Amos, there shall come a famine in the land, not for bread or water, but for what? Hearing the word. Ladies and gentlemen, it takes a prophet to preach the word. It takes teachers to teach the word. It takes men and women of courage to change or come out of her. The great whore that corrupted the earth with the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And the Bible said, let whosoever readeth, let him understand. And let them that be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him that is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let them which is in the field return back to take his clothes. But woe unto them that are with child, and those that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, and neither on the Sabbath day, for thou shalt be great tribulation. Ladies and gentlemen, the soul is at its core of tribulation. There is a great shaking in the land. There is a great famine in the land. It is not for bread and water, and the devil is crying peace and safety, but souls are hanging precariously by a thin thread on the pages of time, and it's today, which is the day of salvation, except those days be shortened, there shall be no flesh saved, but they shall, for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, what are we talking about, Pastor Buddy? We're talking about a time of trouble. We're talking about a change in the vibrations of the planet. We're going to actually move, linearly speaking, out of linear time into the prophetic time of the vibration that is coming up on the earth to give man knowledge of this great thing. And great prophets here and all over the world are going to begin to speak. Men and women, as I speak to you right now, are being trained that this gospel of the kingdom, Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, they're being trained and they're being instructed. They're going through great sacrifice. They're giving up their worldly possessions. They're bringing them into the assemblies around the nations where the festivals are being held. They're laying their goods and their hearts and their services at the feet of the apostles, just like it was in the day of Pentecost, in that time of change, in the time of great cosmic shift of the day of Pentecost. We are now in the last days as we have moved out of the age of Pentecost, the early rain. We're coming into the age of the latter rain, because iniquity shall abound and the love of many shall wax cold. At that time, Yahweh will preach the gospel of the kingdom. It shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. Ladies and gentlemen, I have enjoyed being with you tonight, and the time has gone far too quickly for Pastor Buddy, as we have just got into the meat of our subject. We're going to have to close here very shortly as I give you my name and telephone number. Now, if you'd like to call us, you can call us on the telephone by calling area code 423-626-2172. That's Pastor Buddy's number. Leave me a message on voicemail or call me next week. We'll be back next week in our community of Tazewell, Tennessee, as we depart from Murphy, North Carolina. Coming up here on Tuesday evening, we will depart, and we will see you on the telephone. If you want the call, we'll get your message when we get home, and we will return your telephone call. And if you'd like to write us, just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, and I'll send you the series, The 5 Hours of 2012. We'll send it to you as we are now trying to alert the people that today is the day. The gospel is going to be preached. If you'd like to contact Dr. Gary in Natchez, Mississippi, 1-877-289-7439.
I have a loved one, it's deep to my heart, and I pray he'll tear from his sin. Silence. of love.